Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Our thanks to Abraham Hamilton III and to Chris Woodward. They were with us the last little while as we discussed several topics. By the way, if you'd like to go to the best place I know for your news, your daily news, is go to onenewsnow.com. That's our news site that we have several good news folks in that department who work every day to bring you news from both here in the U.S. and around the world. And Steve Jordahl is one of those newsmen.
Do my best. And by the way, if you don't, we have a second site, One New Snow.
One New Snow.
What News Snow.
That's One News Now, right?
I'm
following you, Steve. Funny man. All right. Hey, by the way, I mentioned last half hour that I thought Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, would be a formidable candidate for president on the Democrat side. I'm not impressed by any of the ones they have up now. Even Joe Biden, I know he's tracking ahead of President Trump in some of the polls at this point, but I just think that I just don't see it in the end, him being able to do this, carry this to the end. I could be wrong, but we'll see. But Joe Biden's got a lot of baggage.
Yeah.
A lot of baggage.
A long, 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 long
and
time ago.
And he's ticked off a lot of left-wing folks over the years with things he supported and voted for. Yeah. Who, by the way, at the time wasn't seen as being a traitor to the Democrat cause, because most Democrats supported the Hyde Amendment, for example,
right,
which bans federal use of tax dollars from going to pay for abortion. And most Democrats were against same-sex marriage, including Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. So these things weren't these more centrist to conservative views on some issues were not considered being a traitor to the cause of the progressive movement, but it is today.
Because the Democratic Party has radically changed.
Right.
Bill Clinton signed the first Religious Freedom Protection Act into law.
Also signed the Defense of Marriage Act in 1996.
Right. So I say that to say keep your eyes on the governor of California, because I think he could probably be drafted into the presidential race if the Democrats said, hey, you're our guy, you know. You don't even have to go through all the, that would have to happen at the convention, wouldn't it? If he doesn't get into the primaries, then you would have to be.
You can only draft someone at the convention if you have X number of votes and there's no clear winner. Then you can try to draft someone at the convention that everybody agrees with.
Well, I hope they don't choose me because I'd be a lousy Democrat candidate.
Steve, you've mentioned this before, but just to repeat, and don't want to spend long on this, but it's always curious to me when you talk about the political history of California.
Yeah.
You go from being a blue state, basically. A red state.
Yeah.
We didn't even have those terms back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, who elected President Reagan governor of California. And you go from that, even Pete Wilson after him.
Pete Wilson was a very fine Republican
Arnold
governor.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, he
Not
was more
so
middle
much
of the road.
Fine
well,
Republican.
He was Republican.
Republican. But nowadays, California's just gone far.
There are some
They're
lessons.
Deep, deep blue.
There are some lessons to be learned, what happened in California, because the Democrats are trying to do the same thing here with the suggestions of stacking the court, for instance, or open borders, for instance, or voter roles and how to vote or how to redistrict, put congressional districts together. They kind of practiced in California, And they got to the point in California where the Republicans are an afterthought. They are just an asterisk at the bottom of the political calculus. They don't have any power, any say. And
it's a one-party.
It's a one-party system, and you're seeing what they're able to do now with saying they're going to give health care to illegal immigrants. And
the irony is here, many of the deep states in the Deep South back in the day, mm-hmm. by day I mean 50s, 60s, were known as the solid South for the Democrat Party, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Now most of those same southern states are solidly Republican, while California, for example, was solidly Republican for, I don't know about solidly, but anyway,
it was
solidly Republican back in this same era, and now they flipped to be Democrat.
Ronald Reagan said that what used to be a Democrat at one point before he became governor when he was an actor in Hollywood, and he said the Democrat Party didn't
I didn't leave
the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party left me. And I think that probably would account for a lot of what you saw in California and a lot of what you see in the South, where people in the South probably have long and always been for traditional marriage, even though they didn't know it because it wasn't an issue in the 60s, you know. And they probably have always been for life.
Well, who would have ever thought those things were an issue back in those days?
Exactly. You know? And then you could be a Democrat because back in the day, the Democrat Party said they wanted to do something for the working poor. They addressed poverty and they addressed, you know, the union side of things as opposed to the management side of things. And
yeah. We had a healthy two-party system back in those
days. Yeah.
Today,
not so much.
It's not healthy. We have one particular major political party who wants to, they don't want to fix the pothole differently. They want to rip up the road. Huh?
Yeah, the difference is that we used to have two political parties who fundamentally agreed about life and America and mm-hmm. values.
Made up of patriotic Americans, both.
Both parties, patriotic Americans, they disagreed maybe about the size of government
how
social you approach
programs
crime,
or how to,
those kind of things. Now we have, in my opinion, two fundamentally different views of life and the Constitution even and values.
Right.
And that's why there's not really much middle ground.
One of the founding fathers said it was either politicians or people, Americans, he was talking about. I think it was the government. When the government realizes it can vote itself pay raises, then we're in trouble. The concept being power. When they realize that they can wield power like that, then the restraints will come off.
You know, the left wing, the so-called progressive movement in this country, they view us as, by us I mean conservatives, and who was it? Hillary Clinton, no less, called us deplorables, right? A basket of deplorables.
And irredeemable.
Irredeemable. So these people, if they could get rid of us, I'm not saying kill us, but if they could ship us off to Antarctica, you know, they would. Because we are what's holding back the
morning in America.
Well, yeah,
Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, but they do want to take us to a completely different place. That's what President Obama meant when he said fundamentally change the country. And Hillary Clinton and those people on the far left, the progressives, which Abe calls regressives. They do want to change our country fundamentally, and people who are constitutionalists, who are conservatives, especially if you're a Christian conservative, then you're the president of the deplorables club, right?
Right.
If you're a Christian conservative, that's the worst you can be. So, but these people, they hate our guts, and. Because they view us as bigots, haters, people who don't care about the environment, people who, you know, don't care about fairness and justice, right?
We hate all immigrants.
We hate all immigrants. We don't want, right.
Whether they're legal or illegal.
Right. So we're xenophobic.
Yes.
She named all those phobias. Hillary Clinton did that day. She went over about five or six of them. So if you have that view of people, then you basically despise them, right?
Yeah, we hate rich people. I mean, we love rich people and enjoy it when they abuse fiscally the poor. You know, we just cheer for them, apparently. You know,
we don't want,
and because Hillary's not
rich. If you don't want universal health care, right? If you don't want government run socialistic health care, then you don't care. You don't care about the people who are uninsured,
right?
Therefore, you're heartless.
Yes.
And if you're heartless, you're a deplorable. You see how this works?
I do.
So yeah, there's not much room for that kind of thinking has taken over the Democrat Party.
Greg Gutfeld on The Five on Fox, I've said this before on this program, has a saying that Republicans think Democrats are wrong. Democrats think Republicans are evil.
Mm-hmm.
And so with someone that's wrong, you have a discussion and try to come to an understanding. With someone that's evil, you shun them, you get rid of them.
Especially if you take God out of the equation, because if... I would view the Democrats, it's pretty well, and not all Republicans are right on things all the time. You have to look at things independent of R&D in terms of what's right and wrong, what's good and bad, what's a good government decision or not. But most of the time, I'm going to end up agreeing with the R's, but that's no secret.
Right.
Because that political ideology is something I subscribe to. But I don't detest I pray for President Obama. I don't wish him ill will as far as his life goes. I don't like his policies, but I think that because I have a biblical, I'm not perfect at this, but I have a biblical or Christian worldview on things, that this is not the end all be all. It's important. I want this country to survive for my children and grandchildren. I want them to have the same opportunities and religious liberties that our founders fought for. My first calling and the most important thing is, down the road, what's going to matter is my relationship to God, not whether, not necessarily how the country goes. Does that make sense? So I take a different perspective. Whereas if you take the perspective of somebody who doesn't believe in God, right, it's the here and now. And they want to win. And they want to destroy their opponents and their opposition. And because they're fighting for their view of whatever their view of right and wrong and justice is. And so they don't care about, they don't care about being fair to other people that they disagree with. That's what I
would. Well, if this life is all there is, then who cares whether you're fair or not, as long as we get what we want. You see what I'm saying? If there's no afterlife, there's no day of judgment.
A lot of people have adopted that. They just want the power, right?
Yeah. This life is all we have, and I'm going to shape it in a way that suits me and the way I view the world.
If you take God out of the equation, by definition, you have a sliding scale of morality, because there's nothing to anchor it to. It's
right.
Eventually, you'll talk yourself into doing something that feels good or that it benefits you, even though you strongly thought that it was a bad thing. If you have just yourself, you'll talk yourself into it.
You know, the word justice is thrown around a lot, right, in our political our political world today. And oftentimes used by the left, and I would say, without God, the word justice has no meaning, really, huh? Because you're saying justice is, you're saying fairness, right? Or you're saying equality. I would say to you, Why does equality or fairness or justice matter if there is no God to define what those terms mean, right?
Yeah, if we're just a bunch of chattering monkeys, which is what evolution would say, we're a little higher form of it, we're just a bunch of chattering monkeys, ideas like justice and equality and fairness don't really enter into it because monkeys fight over what they want and get. You know, the Bible talks a lot about, uses the word justice a lot, but it is always it's always connected to righteousness. So the word justice, biblically speaking, is, in a sense, the application of loving your neighbor and the golden rule as anchored in God's righteousness. So you can say, well, we want justice for gay people, therefore we want them to have the right to marry. Well, you're using the word justice, but you're not using it in a biblical way. Christians see justice as rooted in God's righteousness. And yeah, and that makes a difference on what issues you pick and choose to throw into the bucket named justice.
And if we don't have a definition of what's moral and immoral, right, which the Bible gives us.
Right.
If you abandon the Bible and say, no, I'm going to make up my own definition of right and wrong, moral and immoral, good and evil, then it's every man for himself. What does the Bible say? Every man does what's right in his own eyes?
Yes.
So I'm sure Hitler thought what he was doing was moral.
Yes.
Am I right?
And so do those who supported him.
Yeah.
And we say it was wrong.
Right.
Because look at what God has said.
Right. To kill innocent people is sin.
Yes.
And that's what he was doing.
He was committing murder millions of times over.
Yeah. All right. So, Steve, what you got, my friend?
Can I start with a correction from yesterday? Ed correctly called me out on it. I had this picture in my mind of an infographic, and it was the wrong picture. I said yesterday 3 out of 4 women were victims of sexual assault. It turns out the number is 1 out of 3 that are victims of sexual assault, way too many. And
right.
But I did want to bring that up because I didn't. I had the wrong figure in my head, and I apologize. Acting Secretary of Homeland Security Kevin McAleenan was on the Hill yesterday testifying before the Senate Judiciary Committee. And he said that he said that there is a full-blown emergency at the border, that they don't have enough judges and courts and stuff to process everyone that wants asylum. So what they're doing is essentially the Obama policy of catch and release. And says they gives these guys a court date, says show up here and we'll figure it out then. Well, he said that 90% of recent asylum seekers skip those hearings. Yeah.
So they are given a hearing and they promise basically to show up.
Right.
And then they don't.
And they don't.
It's almost as if they're lawbreakers. Is this sarcasm?
It's a serious problem. We're making it happen.
90% don't show up for their hearings.
90%. Well, they had no intention to. And everybody knows it. What you get with the asylum is that's your free pass to America right there.
Right.
And that's why they do this. That's why all these people coming from Central America get here and they teach them how to say asylum.
Yeah.
And then...
Or bring a kid with them.
It's an abuse of the system on a massive scale. But if the Republicans say anything about this, President Trump, namely, the Democrats say, you hate brown people because they're trying to escape poverty and a terrible life, and they're trying to claim asylum as according to our laws, and you're trying to deny them that right. You see how this works?
Right.
If you were to say, my guess is if you were to say 90% of these asylum, what do you call them?
Seekers?
Asylum seekers who get a court date to come back to figure out so the judge can decide whether they're
going to be granted asylum
or not. If you were to tell Democrats they don't come back on a 90% scale, Democrats would say so.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
McAleenan.
Well, they have access to these numbers, and they obviously don't think that's any big deal. Otherwise, they'd be fighting now to shut down the border.
McAleenan brought up an interesting point, which I know.
Who did Steve?
McAleenan, who is the acting Secretary of Homeland Security. He took over when Kirstjen Nielsen left. He said, currently, due to a single district court order, we cannot obtain effective immigration enforcement results for families arriving at our border. They cannot be held for longer than 21 days and do not receive rulings from immigration courts for years. And this goes to the problem of single judges, federal judges, thinking that they can impose their will on the entire country and the administration just on a whim.
Yeah, these courts are completely overwhelmed by the sheer numbers of hearings that they're supposed to be holding. And I mean, it's just the courts aren't set up to handle these kind of numbers.
And getting the fix to the problem in any kind of a normal way would require congressional action, and they just don't want to act. And I blame some Republicans along with the Democrats for not engaging when they had a chance before, and certainly now there's just no chance that anything that looks good for President Trump can get through the House.
Right.
According to Drudge, their lead headline, not the lead headline, but one of the top stories is that it says U.S. cities overwhelmed with illegals from Ebola countries.
Yeah. Congo, Sub-Saharan, they're still, it hasn't been in the news as much as it was when it first broke, but there are cases by the thousands in Sub-Saharan Africa right now, Congo.
But they are coming through the Mexico border, right? Or are they coming?
Some of them are.
I don't know that they're all, I haven't read the article, but I don't know that they're all illegal or marchers. Some of them could come very legally, and none of them are accused of bringing Ebola here. It's important to note, but that the fact that they could be from there and carrying there, that it's another factor in immigration.
But to your point, this is according to Infowars.com. They say Border Patrol officials say that 500 people from African countries have been arrested by Border Patrol near Del Rio, Texas.
Yes.
Since May 30th. So evidently, people from other countries around the world, not just the Central American countries, are coming to Mexico to try to get into the U.S.
Yeah. And actually, it's in the 6 days after May 30th. That would take you to like June 5th.
Isn't Ebola, so though? Ebola, is it? It's Ebola, right?
Ebola, right.
Ebola, pardon me. That's a airborne.
No, it's a communicable disease. You have to touch somebody with it.
Okay.
To contract it. But I mean,
just physically touch, or do you have to bodily fluids,
an open sore, that kind of a thing.
But it's
highly contagious that way.
But it's easily causes death too,
in most
right?
cases. It's lethal. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing from people that are accompanying these caravans down here that there's a lot of people that fly into Mexico from China or the 1040 window, the Arab countries, or Africa in this case.
Yeah.
That are coming up through
order. Well, I just, on this issue, I say God bless President Trump, because he is trying his dead level best to get something done to protect our country, to secure our borders, to keep us from being people just flooding into our country. We don't even know who they are. It's the reason we have immigration laws and borders and passports is, like any other country in the world, we want to regulate who's here,
right?
Know who's here and have an orderly process. And he's trying to do something, and he's being fought by the media and by the Democrats at every turn. But we'll see you tomorrow, folks. Have a great day.